When you hear stories about the farm labor movement, icons like Cesar Chavez and Dolores Huerta often come up. But what about the people who came before them? FM 89's Monica Velez spoke to the director of the documentary film Adios Amor, which explores the life of Maria Moreno. She was the first female farm worker to be hired as a union organizer. Director Lori Coyle starts by telling us why she was compelled to dig up Moreno's story.
Well, a long time ago, I was working on a documentary about Cesar Chavez and the Farm Workers Union, and I was traveling around the country doing research, looking for photos and movies and interviews and any kind of material I could dig up from the 1960s. And I came across a stash of hundreds and hundreds of photographs of a mother who seemed to be in a leadership position. She was very charismatic and outspoken. She looked really spunky. She was going to union meetings, engaging groups of men, listening to her. And she often had her 12 children in tow with her. So that was truly remarkable, given that we were talking about the 1950s and early 1960s. So that made her special. What I discovered over the course of searching for Maria Moreno is that she was actually the first farmworker woman to be hired as a union organizer. And that was at a time when women were really relegated to the background of social justice movements. So she was in a unique position, and she was elected by a very diverse group of farm workers who were Mexican-American, Okies and Arkies from the Dust Bowl migration, and Filipinos and African-Americans. So it was a very diverse group of people who chose her as their spokesperson, and that was truly remarkable at that time.
And why do you think her story isn't known around the world, like how Cesar Chavez was and Dolores Huerta was?
I think it's complex why Maria Moreno's story is not better known. In general, women's stories have been left out of the history books, so Maria Moreno is not alone in that. But I think what is a little bit unique about her situation is that her union was based in California, but they were kind of run in a very top-down way from Washington, D.C., by a lot of white men who knew nothing about farm work, and they sent out a person to run the union who decided that Maria was too outspoken and out of the movement. And so she was not the only person who was pushed out of her union. There were several people who were pushed out. So I think there's this notion that history belongs to the victors. And insofar as Maria was marginalized and silenced, it was easy for people to sort of forget about her and leave her out of the historical narratives about the farm worker movement.
And what were some of her victories while she was doing this work with the union?
Maria's first victory was back in 1958. There was a big flood in Tulare County, and farm workers could not go to work, and they were starving. They were not allowed to get any kind of food assistance from the county, because the policy at that time was that farm workers are not disabled. They can work, and therefore they're not eligible for food support. So they couldn't get help from anywhere, and her eldest son actually went blind after not eating for multiple days because he was trying to save the little bit of food that the family had for his younger siblings. And Maria was so upset about this that she started to speak out, and it ended up being picked up by the press in Fresno, and they ran a story, and that put a lot of pressure on the county, which actually had to change its policies and make food assistance available to the farm workers. So that was Maria's first victory. Another high point of Maria's career was when she was elected to represent AWOC, her union, at a national conference of the AFL-CIO. And that's a conference in which John F. Kennedy, the president, and many other famous people were speaking, Martin Luther King, Eleanor Roosevelt. So it's really quite remarkable that Maria, as the representative of this tiny little union, was able to go to this conference and speak on behalf of farm workers who really had been completely marginalized by the labor movement and their rights had not been recognized.
So I know that there were some people who were actually pretty critical of her. So why do you think that was?
Well, Maria was a very outspoken woman, and I think that probably that was not appreciated by the men at the time who saw her as being too outspoken, and they wanted to sort of control the way that she was handling her organizing work. Maria wanted to go into the farm labor camps and have meetings in workers' homes, whereas the leadership back in Washington wanted to use a more traditional labor approach. So they didn't really get what she was trying to do, and they thought that she was too independent. You were either with her or against her, and she was going to do what she felt she needed to do, which is not to say that she wasn't a collaborative organizer. She worked well with her peers, but she was not appreciated by her higher-ups. And I really think it had a lot to do with the fact that she was a Mexican-American woman. Spanish was not, it was her first language, and they were really not used to any kind of diversity at that time.
Maria, she had 12 kids. I know you talked to some of them in the documentary. And so what were some of their reactions to their mother's work? Were they going along with her for the ride at all these places that she went to speak?
I think when Maria first started working as an organizer, her kids were curious. They didn't understand what she was doing. Some of them were very young, 5 years old, and even I think there was a 3-year-old in the family still. So I think that they were a little bit confused, but she brought them along. And then when they could see her in the context where she would be speaking, whether it was at UC Berkeley to the students or whether it was in a farm labor camp, they could see that she was reaching people and moving people with her story, and that she was on a mission to bring farm workers together, to fight together for better conditions. So they supported her. The older kids took care of the younger kids. They did the cooking when she was gone. It was a team. It was definitely teamwork in the family. Everybody pitched in one way or another. So, yes, they were supporting her. And she also had an identical twin who used to fill in for her when she was on the road. She had a lot of family support.
And what was the biggest challenge or one of your biggest roadblocks that you found while trying to figure out who this woman was and kind of piece together this story?
Well, I think the first challenge in making a film about Maria Moreno was that I was coming many years after the fact, and most of her colleagues, that the other union organizers and the reporters and photographers, they had not seen her in 30 years and really didn't know what had become of her. So I had these very intriguing accounts of this charismatic, passionate woman, and then I kind of hit a wall and without knowing anything after that. And so it was really the amount of time that it took just putting the word out. I put on a public service announcement on local radio. I put up flyers. I was putting up notices on the internet. And I was doing a lot of basic grunt work, just going, you know, traveling places, talking to people, getting on the phone. And I was actually a whole year into the search before I made contact with Maria Moreno's family.
Making this documentary, what does that mean to you, especially, you know, that it's being able to be shown in so many different places and places, you know, in the valley where all of this stuff took place?
It means a lot to me that Maria Moreno get her due as a historical figure, as a pioneer and a trailblazer. My sense is that Maria's story can inspire a lot of people that they can do it too. That regardless of what obstacles are in their path, they can make a difference in their community. So that's really important to me in terms of Maria's story, that she be acknowledged for her contributions. We need to stop thinking that the farm worker movement started in 1965 with the United Farm Workers. It's a really long, rich, powerful story that goes back decades and decades to the beginning of the 20th century, and that's a beautiful history of the Central Valley that we all need to understand better. So So there's that. And the other thing is that I'm hoping that Adios Amor will inspire young people to want to undertake their own searches, whether it's their family history or their community, another leader who's been forgotten, whose story deserves to be told. I want to show people that the search is fun and it's exciting, and that you get to go to amazing places and you find these, you dig up mysterious things, and people share their treasures with you and tell you their precious stories that they've held close to their chest for decades. It's really a wonderful experience, so I would encourage anybody to do it.
We are here with Lori Coyle, who is the director of Adios Amor. Thank you so much, Lori.
Thank you very much, Monica.
You can see Adios Amor Thursday night at 5:30 p.m. at Bakersfield College. It's also playing April 2nd at UC Merced and May 10th at Fresno State. You can find more information at adiosamorfilm.com.